Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Jim Ellsbury, Associate Pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm sitting in for Pastor Marcia today, who's having a big family reunion. Even her great-grandkids are down here for that, so we wish her a lot of enjoyment this afternoon. But like I said, I'm filling in. We'll be joined later by Carol Wicker from Georgia, one of our regular radio folks. She'll be joining us in a little while. And I just want to welcome everybody. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We've been having some great services at Beacon of Hope. Pastor's been teaching on flowing in the Spirit. And I want to follow up on some of that today. The services have been great. It's a wonderful thing to follow in the Holy Spirit, to follow the Spirit. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, Paul wrote, "If we say we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." And I want to focus on that today because there's so many times that we start to flow in the Spirit and move in the Spirit and listen to the Spirit, and then for one reason or another, we kind of get out of that flow. And it just hit me while the first song was playing, that river of anointing, staying in the flow, staying there, being able to be moved by the Holy Spirit. And the Greek word for keep in step is a word that means like an army would march in regular, orderly fashion. Everybody listening to the same commander, everybody moving in the same direction with the same purpose. And that's how Jesus wants the church, to be moving in an orderly fashion, moving at his command, not doing our own thing. And I was thinking about what to talk about today when Pastor asked me to fill in. And today is an anniversary for me. It was 39 years ago. Yes, I know that's hard to believe, but it was 39 years ago today on a Sunday when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And my background was originally such that that was not something I was very familiar with. I grew up Methodist. I went to church, you know, all through junior high, high school. Didn't really know God until I got to college. And I remember the pastor of our church at that time said, "Well, you know, you should get involved with Campus Crusade for Christ." Believe me, that was the last thing I wanted to do. I wanted to go to college and just run my own life. I could have really cared less about God. However, when I got to college, lo and behold, one of the leaders for Campus Crusade for Christ lived in my dorm. And he led a Bible study, which included two other people that lived on the same floor in the dorm that I did, in the residence hall. So I started going, and it was 40 years ago, come Wednesday, that I turned my life over to Jesus. And one of the guys in the Bible study went to an Assembly of God church, and he was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all that. And I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it until I went to his church, first time in any sort of a Pentecostal or charismatic service, and I was very, very impressed. At that point, I thought, well, this might be for them. This is really great. This is for them, not for me. But then, again, 39 years ago yesterday, a friend of mine at school, at college, gave me a book to read on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And that particular day, I had to open and close the residence hall desk, the front desk, where we had like all the pool stuff, the game stuff, and all that kind of, you know, all those things. So I had 6 hours just to set. So I took my Bible down, took this book, did a lot of studying. And the next morning, in the privacy of my own room, I just asked the Lord to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I'd read the scriptures. I was convinced that that was for me, not just for somebody else, but that it was for me. And I asked the Lord to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And at that point, I received prayer language. I began to speak in tongues, which I hope to get into some more today, is the scriptural sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But that was the jumping off point. That wasn't, a lot of people think, oh, that's, I've arrived, I've made it, I've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm there, I don't have to do anything else. And that's the same mistake that a lot of people make with salvation. Oh, I'm saved, I don't have to do anything else. But God has so much more for us, and we have to move in the Spirit in order to just receive all of that. We have to have a listening ear, listening for what God's telling us, being ready to move at God's command. And I want to go into some detail about just something I even read this morning in my devotional about David and how he had to listen closely to God, because it's not that God changes his mind. God sometimes changes his methods to get us to a point of victory, to get us to a point of healing. God doesn't change his mind. He wants us to be victorious. He wants us to be healed. Sometimes he does change his methods, however. So I wanted to take up some of those points today, and Carol and I will be discussing that as this goes on. So again, I just want to welcome everybody to Living the Good Life, a radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are now located at 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North. We're just north of Drew on a little frontage road off of U.S. 19. Very nice place, a large place. So it's been great. Just like I said, the services have been wonderful. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30. We meet on Wednesdays at 6:15 for prayer meeting. So if you have any prayer requests, please send them in, and we'll make sure those get prayed for. Then at 7:00, we have an interactive Bible study. So people bring their Bibles, people bring their dinners, but we bring our Bibles, notebooks, and we just talk about the Word. We talk about what God's doing. We talk about how God loves us and how God wants to move in our lives and work with us to bring his kingdom about. So I just want to, again, invite everybody to come to services there. Great time in the Word, great time of fellowship, great time in praise. And I just want to say thank you again for everybody who is listening. And I want to go to the first song. It's Let the Peace of God Reign. Something that the world cries out for is the peace of God. And it's only found in Jesus. The Peace of God Reigns by Hillsong.
Oh, Holy Spirit, oh, my comfort.
Oh, what a great song. And how well that fits in with what I want to talk about today. It's so wonderful to let the peace of God reign. And those words in the song, God, I want more of you. I want more of you, Lord. That's what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is about, this jumping off place into the flow of the anointing. It's not so much that we get more of the Holy Spirit, but that the Holy Spirit gets more of us. That's the whole point. And the word itself, even to baptize, it means to waterlog. It was descriptive, actually, of a ship that had sunk and was absolutely waterlogged. So it's not just a passing thing. This is actually getting waterlogged with the Spirit. And Pastor had talked, done a little study on Acts chapter 11, at Bible study last Wednesday, and talking about, you know, Peter in Acts chapter 10 went to talk to Cornelius, because Cornelius, who was a Gentile, sent for Peter and said, because he had a vision of an angel, and the angel told him to go find, you know, go send for Peter. Peter will talk to you and, you know, talk to you about God. So he did, and Peter had his vision about the sheet with all the unclean animals in it. And then Peter went, and he says in Acts chapter 11, I think it's so funny, he said, you know, God told me to go without discrimination. Because even though Peter had been shown this vision three times and told that what God had called clean, Peter was not to call unclean any longer. And it wasn't so much the food in the sheet, it was the fact that the Gentiles ate that kind of food. So God was saying, you know what? I've cleansed the Gentiles. Don't you be calling them unclean anymore. So Peter goes and he preaches to Cornelius. And he says, you know what? I see now that God doesn't make a distinction. But to everyone who fears him, who's seeking him, God will answer. And he starts to tell them about Jesus. And he only gets as far as, you know, Jesus was anointed, he died on the cross, rose again, and didn't even have time to give an altar call. The Holy Spirit fell, and all those Gentiles began to speak in other tongues. All those Romans started speaking in tongues. And Peter said, wait a minute. I've got to get these folks baptized in water. Because obviously God did something sovereign here. And in Acts chapter 11, he goes and reports that to the other people, the church in Jerusalem. And some of them were very strict. And they just couldn't wrap their heads around the fact that God had saved the Gentiles. And Peter told the story again. He said, wait a minute. This is what happened. And you know what? I remembered what John the Baptist said, that he baptized in water, but that Jesus would be the one to baptize in the Holy Spirit. So Peter called what happened to Cornelius. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he said, you know what? It happened just like it did to us on the day of Pentecost. And it was on the day of Pentecost that the apostles and 108 other people, because there were 120 total, were all baptized in the Holy Spirit. And most of you have heard, you know the story. They spoke in tongues. People thought they were drunk because they were so, you know, they heard them, what they thought was maybe babbling. They thought they were drunk. And Peter said, no, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And then Peter proceeded to preach a sermon, and he used the prophets, you know, passages from the prophets, from the Psalms. And it says that the people who were listening were pierced in their hearts. They were really convicted of their sin. And they said, what must we do? What must we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you, for your children, for as many as will be called. And 3,000 that day got saved, which is an amazing thing. Because on the day of Pentecost, you know, that was the festival of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. And remember, on Mount Sinai, Moses went up, The Israelites fell into idolatry. They made the golden calf, and the judgment was that 3,000 of them died. So when the law was given, 3,000 died. But when the Holy Spirit was poured out, 3,000 got saved in one day. That's a pretty amazing thing. And it's amazing. And I had, like I said before, I had to study up on this. My flow in the Spirit was pretty limited. I had no idea. And then God began to open my eyes to, you know, it was kind of a process. This is not for me, this whole baptism in the Holy Spirit, Pentecostal, charismatic thing, is not for me. First it was kind of like, it's not for anybody. Then it's for them, but not for me. Then when I realized, wait a minute, this is something God has for me. And I know some people say, well, wait a minute, didn't I receive the Holy Spirit when I got saved? Absolutely you did. There's no way to get saved, to know Jesus, without the work of the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit being present. But think of it this way, and I love this example from the book The Holy Spirit and You by Dennis and Rita Bennett. Old book, classic book, but this example still holds true. It's like you get saved, and God puts all these wonderful presents in your front room. Okay? If you don't unwrap the presents, you don't know all the wonderful things God has for you. Or another example would be a very important visitor coming in, and you're busy fixing dinner, cleaning house, and the person's there in your house, symbolically in your heart, the Holy Spirit living in you. But you know, somebody asks you, you know, a friend asks you, well, they call you on the phone and say, well, somebody's here, and they have wonderful presents for you. They have wonderful gifts for you. And they ask you, well, have you received them? And you say, no, I haven't received them yet. I've been busy doing this and this and this. I know they're in my house, but I've not received them. And that made it clear to me. Yes, you get saved. The Holy Spirit lives within you. But then when you ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit then gets more of you. You receive the Holy Spirit and everything that he has for you. It's a wonderful thing, and it opens up an entirely new realm in your walk with the Lord. And that's that helps you so much to flow in the Spirit, which is what this whole, you know, the whole theme of the services have been about, is flowing in the Spirit. And it's important to be sensitive to the Spirit. You know, I could have said, well, you know, I could have stayed and said, well, it's just not for me, or I don't want it. But I knew in my heart I wanted everything that God had for me. And that's the important thing. We have to really want everything that God has for us. And that can be a scary thing sometimes, because it means stepping out in faith, stepping out believing that God is going to light the path before you by his word, and just trusting him. I understand Carol is on the line. Carol, are you there?
I'm very well, and you?
I am good, good. How's the weather up in Georgia?
It is absolutely gorgeous. I think we're 70 with a nice little coolness to the air and a beautiful blue sky.
Oh, it's almost the same down here. A few degrees warmer, but actually not a whole lot warmer.
Well, we've been a little bit cool this past week, running into the... Sometimes in the morning you get up, it's in the 50s, but it quickly warms up again. That's the nice thing about being up here.
Yeah, good, good.
Well, the leaves are changing, so we know that the seasons of the earth are changing, and we know who set the seasons of the earth, and it's just a beautiful show for everybody.
Oh, I miss that. That's the one thing I really miss, well, that and snow on Christmas, about being in Florida, is the fall colors. I do kind of miss that, because you're right, it kind of gives us a sense of time and a sense, like you said, of awe and wonder at the paintbrush of the Creator.
It's amazing when you really start looking at it and enjoying it, looking at it for what it really is. I think it, to me, it's a remembrance that his times are changing, and he's showing us a new vista. Wouldn't it be terrible if we kept the same old view in our life, all of our life, whether it be a lack of spirituality or whether it be just always looking at the same picture? It becomes, after a while, almost defeating.
Absolutely, and that fits so well with the concept of flowing in the spirit, because sometimes God may, and I don't want to make it sound like God's kind of capricious or whatever, but sometimes those same old tried and true things, God wants to nudge you into maybe a new pattern, a new vista. I like that, what you said, Carol, kind of a new vista, a new way of looking at things.
You know, if he had wanted us to stay infants, and whether it be infant in the body of a small child, or infant in our way of thinking, or infant in our belief of him, he would have remained us that way. But he didn't. He put us through growth patterns of human age and development, just like he's put the world through age and development. And he has changed our hearts through age and development. You talk about your conversion and the reception of the Holy Spirit. Just go back, and I heard you reminisce how you were prior to the conversion with the Holy Spirit. You grew because he wanted you to grow. He had something for you to do. And what you wanted to do didn't fall into what he had for you.
Well, that's certainly the truth. That's certainly the truth.
You know, he changes us because he needs us. He needs us to carry out what he has ordained for us to do. We may fight it for a long time. We may run from it. We may try to hide under a rock or drugs or alcohol or immoral attitudes. But he knows who we are, and the Holy Spirit will convict us to listen and do what God has asked us to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's so true. Yeah, because I know as I was growing up, this is way back, very early 70s, when I was in high school, you know, it was kind of the in thing to doubt the existence of God and all that. And at that point, we had a very liberal pastor at our church. And so liberal, in fact, that one of the, when I was in high school, we had, you know, youth group on Sunday night. It was around Easter time, and this would have been probably 1972. He played, we listened to the album Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah.
And he asked us at the end, what's missing? And it, to our shame, none of us realized that what was missing was the resurrection, because it's not in that.
That's not right. And some people to this day, some churches who purport to be spiritual to this day deny the resurrection of Christ.
And they, and that's kind of frightening, because without that, well, Paul says it very well in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ is not raised, then your faith is in vain, you're still in your sins. So
I have a question for you, Pastor Jim.
Uh-oh.
I think I heard you say something about we need Jesus in this, in our lives, in this world. And this is a kind of a pundit kind of question, because I'm sure there are people sitting out there today who are saying, I don't need him. What do I get from it? What does he do for me? And so my question is there true peace in turmoil when Jesus Christ, God and the Holy Spirit, indwell your body and your heart and your soul and your mind? Is that a way to peace, Pastor?
It has been for me, and honestly, Carol, I think it's the way.
I think it's the only way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my question was to say to people, if you're sitting there and you're in doubt, and if you're not sure what the Holy Spirit can do for you, or if he even exists, you need to start paying attention to that little nudge in your heart. Mm-hmm. You need to pay attention when you get out of that disastrous situation that you didn't think you were going to get through it. It wasn't the fireman that pulled you up or pulled you out of a burning building. It was the direction of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God, who brought you out of a fiery furnace so you can be kindled in that fire and firmed by that iron and brought to his service.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And before, this is after church when I was back home, before I came over to the radio station, you may have seen it. It's been like a little poster. I've seen bumper stickers, but it's N-O, no Jesus, N-O, peace, no peace. K-N-O-W, Jesus, you know, no Jesus,
yeah.
K-N-O-W, peace, no peace. And I thought that just struck me that, you know, and that's part of flowing in the Spirit, because the minute you try and start swimming upstream, you know, you're going to run into trouble and you're going to lose your peace. And, you know, Paul said, you know, peace is to be the umpire in our hearts. That's the final arbiter. You know, that's knowing that great peace. And it's not, it goes beyond just kind of a mind peace, because the peace that God gives, Paul says, surpasses. It's beyond understanding. So it's something that goes beyond our mind, our will, and our emotions. It's something in our spirit. It's that deep of a peace.
And it's like a protective shield being dropped around you. Mm-hmm. It's not that things don't affect you. It's not that you don't see things. It's not that sometimes you unwillingly participate in something that causes turmoil. But those who live with Jesus Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit, it is almost as if a wall of glass has been dropped around you. You're not concerned with the evil coming toward you because you are encased in the spirit of those three, and they protect you, guide you, direct you, everything. And what a peaceful, peaceful life that can be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And who in the world today doesn't want peace?
No.
I mean, individual peace, peace between countries. Humanity cries out for peace. And yet, the answer to this is the simplest of all, and it's Jesus. And yet, people still won't accept the simplest answer. They'll try and build up their own path to peace or their own religion. And all that's going to do is come crumbling down around them, and it's not going to bring peace, not true peace. You might have a cessation of chaos for a little while, but even that's not true peace. True peace, like I said, is it starts in the spirit. It's profoundly inside of you.
And it passes all understanding.
Absolutely.
There's no way to explain it. It's just like grace. There's no way to explain grace to someone who has not experienced it or who doesn't choose to seek it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I went through the cancer treatment, I was not concerned. I know that sounds hokey and kind of flip, but I knew that I would be okay. I was told that by the Holy Spirit. I knew that I would be okay. I had to go through all of those things. But through all of them, I had grace and peace, and knowing that all I had to do was to call out for Jesus to help me in my hour of going through those silver ponies all the time, the MRI machines and things.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just peaceful to say, Lord, help me. I can't do this on my own. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're trying to explain that grace and people look at you and say, well, you went through whether it's you, me, or anyone else, well, you went through a really tragic thing, but look at you. You came out and you just have this vibrance about you, and the countenance on your face has changed. Of course it is. We were held in grace.
Exactly, exactly. And, yeah, that made me think of what Pastor quoted this morning. We have this treasure in clay jars. You know, the glory of God resides within us. The peace of God, all of that resides within us. And we carry it around in these clay jars, our bodies. And so it really, you know, like what you went through, and people out there, maybe there's people listening who are going through a battle with cancer. Maybe there's people listening who are going through a battle with strife in the family or some sort of addiction, some sort of drug abuse. Maybe you're just fearful all the time. You know, I know people who are fearful all the time. Well, God has, in Jesus, provided for all of that. He's provided for your healing. He's provided for your peace. He's provided for your salvation and your deliverance. All that is wrapped up in Jesus. And it's just, it almost seems too good to be true. And you know, people accuse Christians a lot of times of having a pie in the sky sort of, pie in the sky by and by sort of religion. You know, that's not the religion, that's not the kind of Christianity or religion that I want. I want something that affects me right here, right now, right where I'm at, and that's Jesus.
You know, it's kind of like, Jim, opening up an energy drink. You know, people seem to get down, and they're really in the doldrums, or they're in the pits of hell, whatever that might be for them, and they don't know how to get out of it, so they run to the nearest 7-Eleven or whatever the little store is on the corner, and they go in and they purchase one of those energy drinks, and they open it and they chug it down, and they wait about 5 minutes for all that caffeine to really kick in, and then they feel they can go another mile. Well, for you and I and Pastor and other Christian folks, we get that by opening up Scripture or repeating Scripture to ourselves and remembering where we are and who we are because of who he is and was.
Amen. Amen. And that's so true because, you know, people will use things as temporary crutches, you know, but, and that's just it. It's just temporary. Jesus offers an eternal solution. And I heard somebody once say eternal life is not so much, or life everlasting is not so much to be measured in length as it is in quality. It's not the quantity of the life, it's more the quality of life. And I know one of Pastor's favorite verses is John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. But, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it in abundance. And, you know, it's not talking about an abundance of cars or houses or whatever. It's just talking about an overflowing sort of life where God's life flows out of you and touches the lives of other people.
It's not who has the most cars in the garage. It's who has the most people on their list to feed and comfort.
Amen.
You know, that's what we should be doing. I know that there are a lot of times you see somebody in a situation and everybody's going, oh, that's deplorable. What a terrible thing to happen to those people. But who is it that gets up and slips away and goes and takes things out of their closet and out of their home and out of their cupboard and just go over there quietly, never says a thing about it, while everybody else is sitting there going, gee, I wonder where old Billy Bob went. Did they just get up and leave? Yes, because they felt the tugging of their heart by the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God to go do what I've asked you to do.
Right, right.
Don't count the cars in your garage. Count the number of people that count on you when times are tough for them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that's a really good point. It brings me to a point that I want to make. It's something I read this morning in one of the devotionals that I use, From Faith to Faith by Kenneth Copeland. The scripture today was out of First Chronicles chapter 14, and it fits so well. This wasn't even the point that he was making, but God showed me this, you know, in these scriptures. In First Chronicles chapter 14, starting with verse, long about five, long about eight, five. It says, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. So here we've got the Philistines, the enemies of Israel. They heard, oh, wait a minute, David's king now? We better get up there and do something about it. So they sent you know, they sent their full force up to attack Israel. And they raided in the Valley of Rephaim. So David, in verse 10, David inquired of God, "Shall I go up and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" And the Lord answered him, "Go, I'll hand them over to you." And sure enough, that's what happened. But those silly Philistines wouldn't give up. So a little bit later in this chapter, in verse 13, it says, "Once more the Philistines raided the valleys. And David inquired of God again, and God answered him, 'Do not go straight up, but circle around them and attack them in front of the balsam trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the treetops, move out into battle, because that will mean God has gone out in front of you to strike down the Philistine army.'" And as I was reading that, I thought, you know, David already had the promise from the first time that God wanted him to defeat the Philistines. God gave him a plan that first time. He just said, go out and attack him straight up, head on. Just go out and do it. And yet David, praise God, was flowing in the Spirit enough that when it happened again, he asked God again, "What do you want me to do?" And it's a good thing, because God said, well, this time, instead of going out, you know, marching out to meet him, go around behind them and wait till you hear the marching of my army in the treetops. And, you know, I was thinking about that, Carol, and I thought, what if David had just presumptuously done what he did the first time?
Yeah.
You know, it could have been, you know, Israel might have lost, but David listened to God, and God gave him different instructions. And that's one thing I want, you know, one thing I was thinking about flowing in the Spirit is, sometimes God doesn't do the same thing the same way. Sometimes healings come in different ways. Like I said before, the victory, you know, overcoming something may not always be the same way.
And I, by doing that, he has become a great teacher. He is a great teacher.
Exactly.
Because he teaches us to not look at things one way, but to listen, you know, make your prayer to him, your supplication. And instead of doing, like you say, instead of doing what David had done previously, now David's listening again, and he's going, huh, you know, he might just be right. Why don't I listen? Well, I think by having that in Scripture, it also gives us the view that we don't have the answer to everything. It might, like you say, work one time. You know, you might hit the giant in the head with a rock one time, but if he doesn't get felled, you better start running.
Right.
You know, and think of a different way, or attack it from a totally different perspective. And that's what we have to do sometimes, Pastor, with the rocks that come into our lives and stumble us and make us fall or break a toe or crack a head open. We've got to realize that we have got to think differently. And by doing that, we also begin to ask for more divine help and wisdom and knowledge and strength and courage.
Exactly, because we learn that we can't do it on our own, that we have to have help, that, you know, the same thing isn't always going to work. And like you said, we have to, it's a teaching tool. It's teaching.
You see, every person is not brought to Christ in the same method.
Oh, exactly.
Your method was different than mine. Mine was different than yours. All of ours were different from Pastor Maxine's. Was different. You know, you can go on and on. Look at the church and ask every individual, how did you come to Christ? And what a plethora of stories you will have.
Absolutely.
But we all got to the same place.
Mm-hmm.
We all stand at the foot of the cross, and we all bow because we know what took place on that cross, and we know that there was resurrection beyond that cross.
Amen.
And we got there. We never one had the same path. I don't think identical twins even have the same path. You know, even in families, whether it be one child or 10 children and a mom and dad or whatever the combination of parent might be, we didn't get there the same path. My path was entirely different than the rest of my family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it goes back to who I was basically influenced by as a young girl at 3 years old. I tell this story all the time. I stood on the pew in the Methodist church and at 3 years old, and I was not with my parents. They never once took me to church, not one time. But my path was set early on, and it wasn't set by them. My path was set by Jesus Christ when I was first born, just like yours, even before we were born.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
You know? And I remember, as you were speaking about your 39th year, well, I'm a hair and a half older than you are. And when I was about 8 years old, Mother had not come home from work yet, and my dad had not gotten home. And we lived in a tight neighborhood where everybody watched out for everybody else's children. We had a couple of moms that didn't work, and so they kind of, you stayed at your house, but they kind of knew where you were and what time you were supposed to be there, and they would check on you. And Mother had not gotten home yet, and I was standing in the living room, and all of a sudden, there was such light, such piercing, I couldn't see. I couldn't find the walls in the living room, and I just stood there bathed in this very bright, bright light. And it kind of startled me, so I remember standing very still. And the next thing I remember is speaking in tongues. And I remember telling my mother that story when she came home, and I talked. Oh, I talked. I don't have a clue what I said, but I was talking in tongues. So when my mother came home and I wanted to explain to her what had happened, I said, Mother, I was speaking Indian talk. And she said, no, no, you weren't. You don't know any Indian talk. And I knew that that was when Jesus allowed the Holy Spirit to come into me and speak to me. And since that time, I've been speaking in tongues.
Hey.
Now, when you're 8 or 9 years old, people are going to go, you know, parents are going to go, yeah, right, Carol, have another, set the table over there, please.
Right, exactly.
You know, but I knew it. And from that point on, I know, I have always known that Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God indwell me in ways I did not understand at a young age.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But I can tell you, all three have led this old girl all around the world in her thinking, and every time I come right back to where I'm supposed to go.
Amen.
And that's back in the arms of Jesus.
Amen. Which brings us to our perfect segue into our song, None But Jesus, by Hillsong United.
Secret.
What a great song. That was None But Jesus by Hillsong United. And again, this is Pastor Jim Elsberry from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm joined today by Carol from Georgia. Always a pleasure. And it was great a few weeks ago at our anniversary. I finally got to meet Carol and Maxine. So they are no longer disembodied voices to me anymore. So that's a wonderful thing. So it's great to be able to meet brothers and sisters that, you know, the kind of been, it's like kind of like we're separated family. And it was so good, even though we'd never met, it was like, oh yeah, you're my sister, my long lost sister. I like that. That's cool.
It was a pleasure for us to be there. You know, we have supported Beacon of Hope, I'm thinking somewhere around 11 years or more.
Yeah.
We've always supported Pastor Marcia and what she does because we know she's anointed. She follows the edicts of spirituality that make sense to us and that honor the scriptures and honor the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And I think that's important that, you know, honoring the Word and following the Holy Spirit, because...
You know, one thing about her as pastor, you won't see her going outside the church and going against the principles that she just taught.
Absolutely.
And they're all based on Scripture, as you well know, and yours are too. The two of you don't walk out the church and go do something to dishonor the words you've just spoken.
Amen.
And that's very important. And we were excited to meet with you and be able to just come together and, like you say, in the body and know that you're real, we're real, and we all have the same mindset, which is to manifest the word of Jesus Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit any way that we can to always honor that commitment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I applaud you and Pastor Marsher for doing that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's, you know, and I know you've heard me talk about it before, speaking of flowing in the Spirit, how I never wanted to get back into the ministry. Never. I pastored a church in Chicago. It didn't end well. And I just, well, you'd think I'd have more sense than to say, God, I'm never going to do this again. Because, you know, I'm sure he was just up there, just kind of smiled and said, yeah, well, we'll see.
Yeah, why don't you go someplace and play for a while?
Right, right.
I'll call you when I need you.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Because, you know, and the funny thing is, even though I said I wasn't going to, then I went to a kind of a mini weekend conference and told Ray, I said, you know, I'm going to come back and I just know God's going to call me to start preaching again. And he did. And so I thought, and again, it's like David, I wasn't really listening because God had put it in Ray's heart to move down to Florida. And I wasn't listening because I kept thinking he wanted a church restarted in Chicago. And that was 1999, and it was 2008 when we moved down here. So I was kind of taking a trip around Mount Sinai for about 7 years.
I mean, call that mellowing.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, I like that. It puts a positive spin on it. yeah, because...
You know, you were trying to restructure what you have in your heart.
Right.
Which somebody had wounded.
Right.
And, you know, and I understand being wounded. Those of us who have worked in trying to enlighten the world and our friends and family about the goodness of Jesus Christ, the importance of living with him indwelling us, we do get wounded because mm-hmm. the people that know how to do that attack us from the very core of our belief, which is that we have been called to do something for Jesus. And then they'll stand in your face and look and tell you, called? You got to be kidding. You're just an ordinary person.
Yep. Yeah.
And you know what your calling is. And what he did was give you enough time to not be hurt anymore, but to believe again and to trust again that he did indeed have his faith in you, that you would be the man he wanted you to be for him. And it takes a while to get over that kind of hurt because it's humans who hurt you, not God.
Right, right. Yeah, and you know, we can forgive. And, you know, which when Pastor taught on forgiveness, it was, we talked about it being not an emotion sort of thing. You know, forgiveness is an act of your will.
That's right.
But there's still those feelings that need to be dealt with. And yeah, and, you know, I praise God that we have a God who even when we start to try and do things our own way, because I was sure that he wanted me to start a church. I just was trying to do it in the wrong place. And, you know, God continued to work, continued to, like you said, to do the work inside of me that needed to be done. And when the time was right, that's when, you know, that's when we came down. That's when I, you know, walked into Beacon for the first time and realized, oh, I'm home. There was never any doubt. You know, I told Pastor, like the second week, well, we met actually that following Friday for lunch. And I said, I just feel like I'm home. And that was back when the church was almost at its smallest. There was very, very, that's when they were meeting in the Howard Johnson's. And, but it just, it was home. And again, going back to what we talked about before, I had a real peace about it. It's like, you know what? This is where God wants me to be. And, you know, again, it's just following the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's going with the flow of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we talked about, you know, David and how he, you know, God, he didn't just assume what God wants to do. And I think, I know I've been guilty of that in, you know, a situation arises. Oh, yeah. Yeah, a situation arises like something that we've been through before. We assume God's going to get us through it the same way. And that's not always the case. That, again, that's where we have to be flowing in the Spirit, listening to the Spirit, praying about it, studying the Word, seeing if, you know, what does God really want in this situation?
That's why you brought out Colossians, or First Colossians, because you recognize that you were not going to be David in the same old way.
Right.
You had to find a different way, and the Lord had to lead you to it and through it. And when you realized that you had walked into Beacon of Hope, your heart came home.
Mm-hmm.
You had no reference to it. You didn't know what it would be like. But you trusted innately, down in your soul, you trusted that the Lord would take you to the right place where you could be used as reaching other people.
Right.
And I will tell you right now, there's been a great need for you to be there, especially bringing in the opposite voice. You know, a female voice delivering a message isn't always accepted in a lot of places. But when you work with Pastor and you come together and you have dual voices, it makes a difference.
Oh, absolutely. And Pastor and I have often said that we complement each other because we're not the same person. I mean, you know,
and you're not in competition with each other.
Oh, absolutely. And that's refreshing to me.
Isn't that refreshing to know that you can stand up and speak the word as it's been given to you, and you're not in competition with her, and vice versa? You've both been gifted in such a way that you meld together to make harmony.
Absolutely. And that's, again, that's flowing in the Spirit, because, you know, we talked about it in church, and I'm pretty sure on the radio programs, the early church, what did they do? They were of one heart and one mind.
Yes.
You know, and they spent all that time in prayer, sharing, you know, they were sharing food, they were having the Lord's Supper a lot, they were praying, they were of one mind and one heart. And what, you know, what happened? 3,000 got saved on the day of Pentecost. 5,000 got saved just a little while later. In the book of Acts, it just keeps saying that the church continued to grow. The word of God prevailed mightily, and the church continued to grow. That's a marvelous thing that you know, flowing in the Spirit brings that kind of unity. And, you know, there were all sorts of different people in the early church. Some rich, some poor, some educated, some not. And God brought them all together for a single purpose, and that was to proclaim his glory to, first of all, to Israel, and then to the entire world. And I want to stop, take a second right here for station identification, if we could.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
I get such a kick out of that listen part. You know, that's I always get such a kick out of that.
Is that a command or a direct?
I think it's a command. I just want to take a real brief second here before we get back into sharing about flowing in the Spirit, just to remind everybody that Beacon of Hope, at Beacon of Hope Ministries, we have a prayer ministry. And I want to encourage all of you who are listening, if you have a prayer request, either for you or maybe for a family member or a friend, please send that to prayers, plural, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at bohmglobal.com. That's prayers at bohmglobal.com. Either, amazingly, myself or Carol pick up the prayer request. We'll send it out, and we always attach a prayer to go along with it so that we are indeed praying in unity. That goes out to our prayer team, which is scattered basically to the four winds, all over. We go up into Indiana. We go over into Texas. We go up, and of course, into Georgia, all through Florida. So, you know, it's a pretty big ministry. And the really nice part is we get answers.
Definitely.
When we send out prayer requests, we pray believing. We don't pray hoping. We pray believing and expecting God to move. And we stand, you know, Carol, you do this, I do this. We put scripture or allusions to scripture in the prayer. We pray the word in these prayers because that's what works. We stand on those promises. We believe God to move, and we've had miracles. We have had miracles. I mean, I have a little subfolder in my email for Beacon, for prayers, and it, you know, for answers, for the praise reports. I'm always keeping those just so I have a record of, hey, this prayer went out and this is how God answered it. And it's, you know, it's just an incredible thing.
But I don't think we've had one that someone has sent back a note to us and said, well,
didn't work.
That didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get those kinds of things. We get responses that are hallelujah, amen, Jesus heard, Jesus answered, and all of those things. You know, we know that the prayers of the people are powerful.
Amen. Amen. And I believe a good part of that is because we allow ourselves to be used of God in this ministry. So I want everybody to think about what does God want you to do? Where does he want you to be in the flow of the Spirit as we listen to the song, The Potter's Hand by Darlene Zench?
I'm captured by you.
Oh, I so love that song. It's just such a wonderful song of surrender and just asking God to move in you, to surrender to God. And that's really what it's all about. Carol and I have talked earlier about, you know, knowing Jesus is the way to truly know peace. And it's just much easier, like Jesus told Paul, you know, Paul and I had a lot of things in common. We both used our heads a lot to our disadvantage. And, you know, God got Paul's attention by knocking him off his horse and appearing to him. And you know, Paul had the sense to say, well, who are you, Lord? And Jesus said, well, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Don't you think it's hard to go against the flow? That's my paraphrase. You know, he said, don't you think it's hard to kick against the goads? Because here, you know, Jesus had been kind of gently trying to move Paul, and all Paul did was resist. And sometimes, you know, God will move in a way to as I call it, kind of a Holy Ghost smackdown, to get our attention. Sometimes he needs to do that, but know that, you know, I can almost picture Jesus appearing to Paul even after Paul had done all those horrible things to the church, you know, persecuting them, killing some of them. And I can just see Jesus with sorrow and love in his eyes, you know, talking to Paul and not condemning Paul. You know, Paul realized that it was Jesus, and he just submitted right then and said, what do you want me to do? And Jesus said, go into the town, go into Damascus, I'll give you further instructions there. And, you know, Paul could have said, no, I want everything now. I want to know everything you're going to do now. But instead, he did humble himself, and he did obey what God had asked him to do. And, you know, that's one thing I think a lot of us, I know I do, have difficulty with.
You know, sometimes, Pastor, we don't want to wait.
Right.
We have our own agenda, and of course we know better than Jesus because it's our agenda. We set it. We know what we want to do. We know where we want to go and how we want to do it. We want to be our own coach. We want to be the star player on our team, and we want to be the umpire. We want everything to go our way. But just like Paul, you know, Jesus let him do it for a long time. Then when he went off the horse, and I can tell you, that's not a pleasant experience.
Oh, no. Been there, done that.
You know, I have more times than I can count, literally and figuratively. But when we surrender all, then our lives changes.
Right.
When we're not working with his agenda as ours, we don't get very far. We may get to the top of the mountain, and we may be making $1 million. It was a hard climb up, but it's an easy fall down.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the mountain you're seeking, when you're not constantly climbing to the mountain where that cross is, you're going to come tumbling down faster than you could ever crawl up.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true. And, you know, I think of Paul again later in his life. You know, he'd gone on 3 missionary journeys, and he was one God anointed to bring the message to the Gentiles. Even though he was Jewish through and through, God told Paul to bring the message to the Gentiles. And that's what he did in his, you know, in those 3 missionary journeys. And then he goes back to Jerusalem, and he meets with James, who was Jesus's brother. And, you know, James says, you know, Paul, I love you as a brother, but you need to know that there are certain people out there that are spreading rumors, nasty rumors about you, that, you know, you're telling Jewish people not to have their male babies circumcised and all this kind of stuff, that you're going against all the traditions that we learned from Moses. And, you know, Paul never did that. As we know in Scripture, you know, that was not Paul's thing. He never said anything like that. And he could have gotten really offended and said, well, how dare they say those things about me? But You know, again, he listened to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, James said, you know what? Just so everybody's going to know you're on the up and up, why don't you take these sacrifices into the temple? Because we have some brothers there that took a Nazirite vow, and it's time to complete their service. So he did, and you know, Luke writes that Paul went there, was falsely accused of bringing a Gentile into the temple, which was expressly forbidden, ended up in jail, eventually ended up in Rome in chains. And yet, you know, in the flesh, we could look at that as saying, well, that wasn't flowing much in the spirit. Look at all this. He gets arrested in Jerusalem. They want to try and kill him, assassinate him on his way to Caesarea. He sits in Caesarea for a good while because the procurator wanted a bribe from him. He preaches to King Herod Agrippa II. Herod Agrippa makes fun of him. And then he's hauled off to Rome, ends up in a shipwreck. A snake bites him. That doesn't sound like, you know, what sort of flowing in the spirit is that? And yet, look what happened. Not one person died in that shipwreck. People on Malta got saved. The gospel went all through the Praetorian Guard. Those are the crack troops of the emperor. Those were his personal guard, and they were getting saved. That's what happened. You know, sometimes our human eyes, we think, we tend to look at the external stuff. Well, I mean, look at all this stuff Paul had to go through. That doesn't seem like God's a very loving God. And yet, because of all that, Paul preached the gospel in Rome. He stood before the emperor. And even though that's not recorded in the book of Acts, that's what he said. I appeal to Caesar. And every Roman citizen had that right. So he would have appeared before Caesar or one of Caesar's very high officials and gotten a chance to preach the gospel. Now that's pretty amazing. God promised that Paul would stand before kings. And that's what happened.
Can you imagine his wonder as things began to take place and prophecies fulfilled and
right.
Those kinds of things? I mean, it had to have awed him and yet humbled him at the same time.
Right, right. Because it had even been prophesied before he got to Jerusalem. The prophet Agabus, you know, took a rope and tied up his own hands and said, this is how your hands are going to be tied up if you go to Jerusalem.
Yep.
And Paul said, I'm ready to die for Jesus. And that's, you know, and he, you know, he said in another place, I die daily. And that's flowing in the spirit. That's humbling ourselves before God and dying to what we want and letting God do what he wants in our lives. And yeah, other people might look at it and say, well, that just seems crazy to me. Look at all this stuff Paul had to go through.
You know, I wrote something in it. It's basically entitled, you've got to die to yourself. You've got to die to the world. You've got to lift up the holy part of you, the spiritual part of you through the triune God. You've got to let that manifest itself and grow, but you have to die to the world. You don't have to have the biggest diamond ring, and you don't have to have muscles galore popping out everywhere all over you. You don't have to go have surgery after surgery. You can look like somebody else. You don't have to have the biggest house, the biggest car, on and on. You've got to die to those things, die to the world in order to live through Jesus Christ and your devotion to him.
And that's exactly what Paul says in Philippians, you know, all these things. I mean, Paul, if anybody had a right to boast before God, it would have been Paul. First of all, he's Jewish, of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee. He sat under the leading teacher of the day, Gamaliel. I mean, this was the leading teacher of that time among the Jewish people. And Paul said, you know what? It's rubbish. I count it all as loss.
Yes.
It's garbage to me for the surpassing wonder of knowing Jesus. You know, that Paul said that's all that counts. And, you know, I identify so much with those verses because I tend to depend a lot on my intellect. I mean, you know, pastor will say, oh, you know, and I do. I mean, teaching scripture, that's what I do. That's who I am. That's my calling. And I love to do that kind of stuff. But, you know, and I told pastor, I have to be kind of careful about that because I have to watch and make sure it's not just my intellect. I have to depend on the Holy Spirit illuminating the word.
Yeah, we can think too highly of ourselves very quickly.
Oh, absolutely.
And when you have people around you going, you know, and they're shouting hooray, ha ha, and bless you, and look at you, and all those kinds of things to you, you know, especially like in service, you know, when you are, the Holy Spirit hits you in service and you're delivering the message, the Holy Spirit wants, I don't know about you, but when I get through and he tells me when I'm through, and it's not 20 minutes after I start, just for those people that think it is, it's when he finishes with me and my lips now become mine again. I most times don't have a clue what I just said.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And yet when you're going out the door, people are thumping you on the back and, oh, let me take you to lunch and yada, yada, and they're trying to give you everything under the sun with accolades. And it's like, don't burden me down with all those accolades. I just did what I was asked to do. I was the instrument. That was all. And we can think too highly of ourselves very quickly.
Well, yeah, and, you know, think in the Bible of people who did that. I mean, even David thought, you know, he thought highly of himself at one point when he figured he could have Bathsheba.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, I'm king, and I can arrange to have her husband killed.
Yeah, and I can get what I want.
And get what I want. I mean, and I just had a little sidelight here. I love that about the Bible. It's not a bunch of whitewashed saints. It's down and dirty human beings making mistakes. I mean, you know.
Well, if it were all about saints and everything everybody did was sanctified, there would be very little reason to have it. But he allows us to see through the written word and the words that have been spoken down through the ages of the grace, the mercy, and forgiveness of Jesus Christ and mm-hmm. the love that we can be rogues, and most of us started out as rogues one way or the other, and yet there's a possibility if we link our stars to his, we can live eternally.
Amen. Amen.
And that's what we should all be seeking.
Right. And it's, you know, again, bring you back to flowing in the Spirit. Some people try to do that externally by calling it holiness and by dress codes or by food, you know, abstaining from certain types of food. Yeah, dress codes, the way you wear your hair.
That's right.
And that's not flowing in
the Spirit. And the secret handshakes and the secret all of those things.
Right.
And those are man-made things. Those are not spiritual.
Exactly. Because
the church splits over the color of the carpet. Somebody wants purple, somebody wants mauve, and you split a church. Does that say something?
Yeah, that says some people are walking in the flesh for sure.
Yeah.
And it's having been in church all my life and now, you know, having pastored a church and just seeing how, I mean, I know how churches work and I know how factions can start and it's usually, you're right, over stupid things.
Yeah.
Like the color of the carpet.
Or somebody doesn't speak to you.
Right.
And you call the pastor and you say, Pastor Jim, did you know that Billy Bob didn't speak to me today in church? What gives him the right to treat me that way? And there goes Pastor Jim trying to soothe the situation, calm it down, saying, did you know that Billy Bob got out of a very sick bed to come there today? He probably didn't speak to a whole lot of people.
Right. Right.
And look how it gets. It goes on and on. It infiltrates the church. The next thing you know, 24 other people are not speaking to each other, all because Billy Bob didn't say hello to JoJo, you know?
I know. It's the silliest thing.
And that's the devil coming in and laughing his butt off because he's got dissension among the brethren.
Right. Right. And again, I want to tie that back to that whole peace issue. It's walking in that unity and harmony, because sure, there were disagreements in the early church. Acts chapter 6, the Greek-speaking believers, the Greek-speaking Jews, thought that the Hebrew-speaking Jews were giving them the short end of the stick in the daily, you know, the daily rations, the daily food distribution.
Yeah.
And that could have split the church. We could have had a Greek-speaking church and a Hebrew-speaking church. And yet, what'd they do? They prayed.
That's what should happen.
Oh, absolutely.
That should happen in churches where there's dissension. I can tell you right now, if I were pastor of a church and I felt dissension, and I've had 24 phone calls all week because somebody's unhappy that Jane wore a blue dress and it looked just like Dottie's blue dress, whatever their little circumstances, I would stop my sermon in the middle and say, there's one thing we're going to do, and we're going to do it right now. Yep. We're going to ask God to forgive our pettiness. We're going to ask God to forgive our sinful selves. And we're going to ask God to bring a forgiving heart to each of us. And we're going to pray about it right now.
Right.
And we're going to do it in this sanctuary, in the face of God, and with all of the saints that have ever come and been and were listening to us. And we're going to leave here today unified in one thing, the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen. We're going to have a prayer meeting. That's exactly right. So, it's a good segue into Eagle's Wings by the Katinas.
Here I am waiting. I'm by.
I love you, Jesus.
in. Come in, Jesus. Take over. That's kind of been the theme of the whole show today, is just letting Jesus have control and being able to flow in the Spirit. Being able to move and do what Jesus, you know, go where Jesus wants you to go. Do what Jesus wants you to do. And, you know, God just wants that to happen for each one of us. Not so we can, you know, not because he's up there like a big bully in the sky and wants to order us around, but because, like Carol, you had said before, he's got a plan, a goal, a charge for each one of us. There's something he's called every one of us to do. And we just need to submit and ask God to show us, well, what is it you want me to do? And trust him to make that happen. And he will. He will empower. He will equip. He will guide. He will put people in your path. He will open doors. He will move mountains in order to fulfill in you his plans. And Carol, you had mentioned it before, these plans were from before we were even born. And that's such an amazing thing to know that, you know, God saw us in our mother's womb. And as we were being put together, he already knew what he wanted me to do. He already knew what he wanted Carol to do. He already knows what he wants us to do. He's got it kind of planned out for us. But we still have to submit because, you know, God loves us enough not to make us robots. He loves us enough so that he gave us free will. I could say, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to pastor a church. I'm not going to teach. I don't want to do that. And yet every time I've said that, it's been pretty miserable because it's like I look at flowing in the Spirit, you know, like our song at the beginning of the River of Anointing. When I do that, when I tell God, no, I don't want to do this for you, it's like I get into the swamps on the side of the river. I get bogged down. I get stuck in the swamps. I'm not going anywhere. And I just kind of get stuck. And yet, when I say, Lord, I want to be used of you. I want to flow with you. Then he puts me back out in that stream. I'm flowing with the anointing. I'm flowing, doing what he wants me to do. And that's where I want to be. And that's, you know, where God wants us to be, where we're kind of pliable and listening to him and just listening for his direction and moving where he wants us to move, talking to the people he wants us to talk to, being used of him to bring his kingdom into the darkness, to bring his light into the darkness, to bring his kingdom in place of the devil's kingdom.
You know, I think what we have to do, Pastor Jim, is get over the thoughts that humans have of believing they can't do something. Mm-hmm. You've heard it from the time you were a young boy. You can't do that, Jim. Jim, you're not capable of doing that. Jim, don't try to run faster than your brothers. You know that you've got slow motion. You know, we've heard the naysayers all the life. Teacher says, well, you know, Carol's not good at math. And, you know, Carol doesn't mix and mingle. She's quiet. And those kinds of things. We believe that. After a while, we adopt that as our policy.
Right.
But somehow we've got to turn ourselves around in believing that we can. If he says I can, I know I can.
Right, right. And I know.
And I believe that God purposed us. Mm-hmm. Each of us has a purpose, and I believe that, and I know there are folk that don't. But we're not just some random seed that popped on the earth. We have a purpose, and the purpose is all for his kingdom, and we are to find that purpose with his help and his guidance and prayer and study and scripture and believing. We are to find that purpose and seek it and go there and work it and do what it says. But in the meantime, sometimes we get caught in the wilderness of, I don't want to do it, and I can't do it.
Right, right.
I don't want to go there, Lord, because, you know, it's cold, and you know that I like the beach, and I don't want to do it. I don't want to stumble on red clay and get my clothes messed up all the time. And I can't. Why are you asking me to do something, God, that I can't do? I can't meet strangers and tell them about you. But all of a sudden, when we submit and we sing the song of I surrender all, that means everything.
Right.
That means everything that keeps us away from him, everything that lets us think that we are unable, can't do it, don't want to do it. And he purposes us eventually to find what we can do. I always tell, you know, my kids used to say in school, I can't do that, Miss Witcher. I can't do long division. And I said, son, I can't means I won't try.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. Exactly.
No. And you've purposed your life to meet the goals that Jesus has set for you. Your purpose and the way you've done it is different than the way I've done it. And like I said earlier, we're all different in repurposing our lives. When we go out and we live the life in the world, however it may be, and whatever we may be doing out there, we may be sitting on a stump just watching life go by. But when we repurpose our lives according to his purpose for us, it is joy, joy, joy. Not that you're not going to have hardships. Not that you're going to have days of, oh, woe is me. It's just that we know where to find the food that lifts us up.
Right.
Spiritual food and the words of Jesus Christ all through the ages.
Right. And I think that anybody who assumes that the Christian life and you know, submitting to Jesus and walking in the Spirit is going to be a bed of roses is mistaken, because in this fallen world, there are going to be trials. There are going to be tribulations. There's going to be people who don't agree with you. There's going to be things come up. But what you said, Carol, is so true. God is there with us. And you said this earlier, in the fiery furnace, he's with us in the lion's den. He's with us even on the cross. You know, he's with us everywhere.
You know, in the lion's den, don't you know that the people watching that furnace are supposedly going to burn these people to death and make them ash? And people are looking in that fiery furnace, and those bodies are not turning to ash?
No, they weren't turning to ash at all.
No.
In fact,
they were still the physical form that they had been when they walked in there.
Right.
And that had to really change some of the people that were watching that.
Oh, I'm sure at least it temporarily, well, we know from Scripture, from the book of Daniel, it startled King Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes,
and
did.
Because he said, wait a minute, didn't we just throw three of them in there?
Yeah. No,
and yet there's four. How did that happen? And, you know, I believe it was the angel of the Lord, Jesus.
Certainly.
In his pre-incarnate state that came down into that fiery furnace and just enveloped Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in, you know, in his love and kept them safe in that furnace. And then, you know, Nebuchadnezzar called them out, and here they come out. They don't even smell like they've been in the furnace.
Their clothes weren't singed. There was no ash dropping off of them. That was their body melting.
Right. And
you know, symbolically, we can go back to that thought. If we're having a time that is very difficult for us, we can go look at that and say, if he would protect these three men from that hell of burning, surely to goodness, he will protect me.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, and that's, well, and, you know, people say, well, you know, if they just had, you know, bowed down to that idol, well, they couldn't. They couldn't do that, and they knew the consequences. And I think that, too, goes with submitting to Jesus and flowing in the Spirit, is sometimes we have to really weigh the consequences and trust God that he's going to be there with us. Fiery furnace, lion's den, you know, belly of the whale, you know.
The needle that goes in the arm.
Right.
The pills that go down the throat.
Right. Right.
And everything else that keeps us away.
Right.
And from always accepting him. You know, if we have to stop and look, you know, at, I think, today's idols, and they are typically drugs and alcohol and promiscuous sex and things that are terribly against God. Abuse of humans and people, abuse of power over people, the ignorance of thinking that we're superior to anything and everybody. Those are the things that keep us away from God, because we can always find a reason to pick up a needle or take a pill or take a drink or run to the next little red light district, because it's self-serving and satisfaction.
And
those
it's,
that use it.
Right, and it's immediate, and there's...
It is immediate, you know, and sometimes God's answer isn't like 30 seconds after you ask.
Right, and there's
so
no...
I always remind Pastor Marsha of this. I say, listen to what I'm going to tell you. Jesus hung on the cross for 3 days. So whatever the circumstance we're discussing right now that has you in consternation, let it sit for 3 days. You pray for God's wisdom, you pray for God's strength, you pray for God's courage, you pray for God's forgiveness, you pray for love. And you sit and wait on it 3 days, all the time, reading Scripture and praying. And at the end of 3 days, you will have the answer you need. Not the one you want necessarily, but the one you need. And I believe that.
Oh, I do too. And yeah, and like Jonah, what did he do in the belly of the whale? Well, the only thing he could do was pray. And
yeah.
Jesus, when he was put in the tomb, you know, for three days and three nights, you know, he went.
My thinking on it is this, Jim. If he can hang on that cross for 3 days for me, whom he did not know at that time, then I can wait for his answer for 3 days.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, yeah, it's I had a thought that it, you know, I was thinking, well, you know, some people say, well, there's so many more different temptations today. And in a way, no, there's not. We just have learned to refine them a little bit more, you know.
Yeah.
Same thing. I mean, the same addictions.
Well,
you know?
Sin is sin is sin is sin.
Exactly. And sin,
you know, one's not higher than the other.
Exactly. And sin itself is an addiction. I mean,
people get a high off of it.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not always just a physical high that someone might get. It might disturb their body in some way, but it gives a false sense of power,
mm-hmm.
a false sense of superiority,
right?
A false sense of I am the provider. Those are the things that it does that really displace every thought of goodness in our bodies.
Right, and isn't that... I mean, of course, that's walking in the flesh, and that actually gets back to the, you know, to the original sin in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
You know, Satan said to Eve, well, okay, you'll not die, even though she just said that God said they would. Satan goes, no, you won't. You'll be like God. You'll be in control. You'll be in charge. And that's... You know, that's the seduction part. And Paul says in Romans and in Galatians, walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Because, you know, the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life. And, you know, we want to be in control. We want to be on the throne.
Of course we do. Aren't we superior to Jesus Christ?
Well, no.
Oh, we are. Gosh, you've just disemboweled some folk there.
I'm sorry. Yeah, there's not room enough on that throne for two people.
Oh, so then we should let God be God.
Amen. Amen.
Well, isn't that a novel concept?
There you go. And it does lead into our the song From the Inside Out, because that's where it has to start. It can't be from the outside in. It has to be from the inside.
Skin.
Amen. Amen.
But we have got to go internally and change what's in there and change it through the power of prayer and asking God to seek us a different life and show us how it can be different.
Amen. So follow up with that. Here's the song, From the Inside Out by Hillsong.
I stumble again.
Praise God. From the inside out, that's where the change has to come, and it comes through the Holy Spirit. As He works in your life, dear listeners, maybe He's been telling you today that you need to give something over to Him or just surrender a little bit more. Maybe you don't even know Jesus yet, but He's out there, and He loves you. And He wants to do such wonderful things for you and in you. If there's somebody out there who doesn't know Jesus, please come to know Him. Maybe you need a healing today. You think maybe God's forgotten about you because of an illness. He hasn't. Jesus paid for that illness on the cross. He took your sickness. He took your brokenness so that you could be healed and whole. Jesus took every bondage that you've been in and gives you deliverance and freedom in place of that. Jesus loves you so much, dear listeners, that whatever your need is, whatever your lack is, God has already been there. God has made up for that, and He's ready to give it to you. He's ready to pour out His love, His grace, His mercy, and His blessing upon you. All you have to do is say, "Yes, Lord, I accept. I surrender, and I accept." What a glorious God.
Pastor, 1:18 through 22, and I'm reading from the New American Standard. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparable great power for those of us who believe. The power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the ages to come. He is there. He remains there. He will always be there. He is our comfort, our guide, our protector, our teacher, our leader. He hears the supplications of our hearts. He knows when our feelings are hurt. He knows when our bodies are broken with illness. He knows everything that we do before we even begin to do it.
Amen.
He knows the words that you say before you speak them.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a thought in your mind, and it's already 10 seconds behind what he knew you were going to do and what
true.
He knew you were going to say.
Amen.
So we have to realize that we are important. You, me, and every person within the radio audience, we are important to him. No one has more importance than the other. We are all his children. He paid the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus did, for us to remain the children of his Father. We are to be all we can be. We need to be an army of not one, as the Army says, the U.S. Army. We need to be an army of two.
Yeah.
We need to be an army of Jesus reaching out always with his Father.
Right.
Helping us. Right. And the Holy Spirit to guide and bless us and lead us. We need to be everything we can be. We have a one-shot pony in this life. And we won't get a second chance to do it over the first time.
Right.
It's important that people listen today and make the change in their life today that is necessary for them to have a blessed tomorrow.
Amen.
We don't know the hour nor the day. Even Jesus doesn't know the hour nor the day. His Father will send him back to us. And we need to be prepared to go with him when he comes.
Amen.
And we can't do it if we close our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our knowledge and our seeking for knowledge away from him.
Amen.
Those are the lost.
Amen.
We want to be among the living.
Amen. Amen.
So we need to pray a prayer that tells us, Father, I'm yours, and I want you to come and live with me. I don't understand it all, and I don't know it all, but I just feel the need for you today. And we don't know who's listening that feels that way today, Pastor.
Right. Right. Absolutely. So, good idea. Let's pray for the listening audience, for whatever those needs are. And Father, we do come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we don't know all the needs of the people who are listening, but Father, you do, and that's the important thing. You know whose hearts are breaking. You know whose hearts need a touch from you. You know the people, Lord, that are listening, that maybe even some for the first time that are saying, Lord, I don't understand this, but I think I need Jesus. And Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would, Father, just reveal yourself through your Spirit to our listening audience. Father, for those that need to know Jesus, put a hunger in their hearts, put people in before them, Lord, to talk to them about the gospel in a way that they will understand. Father, there may be some people out there that say, I need a deeper touch from the Lord. I need a deeper walk with the Lord. Father, I pray that you would quench that thirst and feed that hunger in their lives. Father, fill them, baptize them with the Holy Spirit. Guide them, Father, unto yourself. Father, for those out there that are in need of a physical touch, some physical brokenness, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. And Jesus, we thank you that on the cross, you bore our not only our sins, but our sicknesses, our pains. You also bore our griefs and paid for our emotional healing. Lord Jesus, I ask, Lord God, that you would move sovereignly among the listeners. Heal those, Father, who need healed. Perfect those, Father. Just move in their lives, Lord. Bring people to a deeper consecration, a deeper commitment to you. Father, there may be people out there who are saying, well, I've done some horrible, horrible things. You don't know what I've done. God could never accept me. Father, I pray that you would enlighten them to know that every sin, from Adam's first sin to the last sin that will ever be committed, is under the blood of Jesus. And it doesn't matter. I ask you, Lord, just to shed forth your love, your grace, your mercy into the lives of our listeners. Move upon them, Father. Move upon them for salvation, for healing, for deliverance. Oh, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You know, Pastor, you and I are just emissaries of Christ. You know, I want people to understand that there's not a thing on this show that's rehearsed.
Amen.
There's not a thing on this show that we give a pre-letter that says, hey, we're going to talk about this, and this is how we're going to do it.
Right.
It's all led by the Spirit of Jesus Christ through His Father and through the Holy Spirit. Because we are emissaries, we open ourselves up to hear the Word as God speaks it to us, to listen to the Holy Spirit, and to preach the words of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Which are life eternal.
Amen.
Forgiveness of sins.
Yeah,
and we do that because we love Jesus. And we want our friends and our neighbors and people we will never meet to experience the joy that we have each and every day. And knowing that we have a power within us
mm-hmm.
to teach us, to love us, to forgive us, and to hold us when our bodies are broken and our hearts are broken and when we're just lost. So we ask everybody today that please take the time. If you have to go outside, if there are a crowd of people around you and you feel this emotion, please find a place today to ask God to come into your life and change your circumstances to something far better. So this is Carol from Georgia saying it's been wonderful. I have truly enjoyed today. And Pastor Jim and I pray that each of you have heard something that will change your life in a good direction.
Amen. Amen, Carol.
I'd like to ask Pastor Jim to take us out.
Amen. Carol, it has been wonderful. It's been great. And I love the radio show. Carol, thank you so much for being on today. And having done this by phone before, I know it's not always the easiest thing, but I just want to remind our listeners, too, that we have services here in Clearwater, Florida. Beacon of Hope Ministries, again, is located at 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North. We meet on Sunday mornings for church service at 10:30. We also have Bible study at the church on Wednesday nights at 7. We precede that with a prayer meeting at 6:15. I also want to remind our listeners, and it's especially important given what Carol and I have talked about today, that if you have any prayer requests, please send them to prayers@bohm.com. It's so important because, you know, we just weren't mouthing off when we were saying we get answers. We do get answers. I would also encourage you, if you have any questions about the church, the radio show, visit our website, and you can either email myself, which is Pastor Jim at bohmglobal.com, or Pastor Marcia, which is pastor@bohmglobal.com. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask. I love to answer questions. Nan, who's sometimes on the radio, she'll call me with questions. She'll email me questions. And I'd love to do that. But again, I just want our listeners to know that it's not about us. It's not about Beacon. It's not about Pastor Marcia or Pastor Jim or Carol or anybody. It's about Jesus. And it is about His love for all of us. God sent His Son for you, dear listeners. He sent His Son for you, that you could know Him through the Father. It's a wonderful thing. And Father, we give you glory. Again, Carol, thank you so much for being on the radio with me.
Say the prayer line again, would you please? It's
prayers.
Beacon of Hope. Don't forget the global.
Global. BOHMglobal.com. And Carol, God bless you. God bless Maxine. We'll talk to you all later. Again, listeners, it's been wonderful. It's amazing how quickly the time goes. But here we are at the end of the show again. But please tune in next week again, 3 o'clock, for Living the Good Life, a ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Remember, it's not far to God. He's right there waiting for you.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.